and that lives will be touched tonight. And I give you praise right now in Jesus' name for it all. And everybody says, amen. You can be seated. The willing touch of Jesus. Diane Ackerman says in her book entitled A Natural History of the Senses, she says that touch is a sense with unique functions and qualities. She says in that book that the sense of touch is 10 times stronger than verbal or emotional contact, and it affects almost everything that we do. How many know that the sense of touch is powerful? I've got two grandchildren, and I can tell them all day verbally that I love them. They know I love them. I can tell them all day long verbally that I love them. They'll believe that. But it's when they run to me and I open my arms and put my arms around them and they feel my touch and I feel theirs, they know then. Without a shadow of a doubt and of a surety that they're loved. There's power in the sense of touch. In the absence of touching and being touched, people of all ages can sicken and grow and become touch starved. You see, I believe that we live in a world that is touch starved. They're starving for a touch, and it's the touch of Jesus that they need. You see, we have a generation growing up without genuine human contact today because over the last several years now, most people, in particularly young folk, of course there are adults that are just as guilty, human contact and touch has disappeared because we spend all of our time glued to a computer screen or to a cell phone. We're riding with the pastor today and he was talking about smartphones and he said, do you have one or something? Or he might have said he didn't have one. I said, well, this dumb man's got a smartphone. I don't know much about it. They call it smart. But anyways, but we live our lives today with our attention focused on these things and we've lost the sense of touch. Many families are destroyed because of that. Many marriages are destroyed because of that. It's noteworthy that out of all of the senses that grow weaker with age, touch is the lone exception. Our sight gets worse. Our hearing will fade. Our sense of taste will dull. Our sense of smell will diminish over time. But the sense of touch remains acute throughout life. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because we are created with the need to touch and to be touched. We were created that way, and studies have shown that touch-starved infants do not progress very well because of the lack of touch in many cases. This scripture text that we have just read tonight is all about the idea of touch and being touched. It's about a man that Jesus touched. There's about three interesting things to me in this passage of Scripture that I want to lift to your attention for just a few moments here tonight. And the first thing that is very, very interesting to me is the fact that Jesus touched the untouchable. Oh, just let that sink in for a moment. Jesus here touched the untouchable. He is near some unnamed city when an unnamed man approaches him. Now, while we may not know this man's name here in Scripture, there is some information that the physician Luke gives us about this man. Luke says that this man didn't just have leprosy, but he specifically states that this man was full of leprosy. That's kind of the same connotation as you and I would say a person is eat up with cancer. Same connotation. Luke says that he is full of leprosy. He did not just have a little bit of leprosy, but he was literally eaten up with it. In fact, it is very possible that this leprosy had advanced so far in this man that he very possibly could have had parts missing from his body by this particular time. He might have been without an arm or a hand or some other limb because the leprosy was so great in his body. Now, according to the Levitical law, a person with leprosy was considered to be an outcast. And I know you're aware of that if you've studied your scripture. A leprous person was to cover themselves, and they were to avoid all possible contact with any other people. And if they saw another person coming, they were to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." Because there was a law against touching and being touched. Oh, don't lose me here. Don't fall off this wagon with me now. Come on. There was the law that was against them that they could have no contact with other people, and they were to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." Lepers were literally marginalized. They were forced to live in isolated leper colonies where nobody could touch them. And they could touch nobody else. And again, let me remind you, it would be safe to say that this man's condition was chronic. It was serious. He was probably terminal. I have a good idea that this man was about to die. Whew, I just spend a few moments because I want you to get the picture, because we're about to see something powerful here in just a moment. This man's condition is so serious and so chronic, and until he's at the point of being terminally ill, and I believe that he is about to die. Without a doubt, he is helpless, he is hopeless, and without a doubt, he's hurting. He's feeling much pain. However, let me rephrase that, but God. Donna, I got a different crowd than Sunday morning, amen? Come on, let me try that one once again. He's about to die, but God. But God. However, into this despair of this man, there came a message of hope. Somewhere he had heard about Jesus, about a man that his name was Jesus, who had power to heal the sick, and his faith got a hold of some hope here, and he refused to let it go. The scripture says that when he saw Jesus, now apparently he still had his eyesight, so he was able to see, and when he saw Jesus, he began to cry out to him. But you see, this man refused to allow the prejudices and the fears and the law keep him from getting to his healer. This man had enough sense to know, I'm sure, that it had been driven into his mind that you're not to touch anybody else in public, and they're not to touch you, and you're supposed to keep your distance away from other people. This man knew, I think, that it was against the law for him to be so hungry for Jesus. Come on. He knew that he's not supposed to even be in contact or crying out. He knew that the law was against him. But notice this man, when he saw Jesus, he asked Jesus to make him clean. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. He asked the Lord Jesus Christ to make him clean. Amen. You see, there's a lot of people who come to church from time to time who feel like if others knew what was going on in their life and if everybody knew the mistakes that they had made and the addictions that they had in their lives, you know, they would be marginalized and shunned and put away. So instead of risking, amen, rejection and seeking help, they try to cover it up in the robes of religion and put on a front. But you just need to do what this man did and break protocol and just cry out to Jesus and call on him and allow him to touch you. Amen. Make me clean. No doubt in his mind that Jesus could heal him. But watch how he says this. When he cries out to Jesus, he says, "If thou wilt." King James uses "wilt." Many translations says when he cried out to Jesus, he just simply said, "Lord, if you are willing, make me clean." Now he knew that Jesus was able. He knew that he was able. But he said, "If you are willing." You see, there's a difference in being able to do something and being willing to do something. Hallelujah. Donald Trump is able to pay us out of debt, but I dare say he's willing to. Everybody ought to shout right there. Even if you didn't, if you come not feeling like shouting, that's a good place to shout right there. He's probably able, but he's not willing. There are a lot of folks that can do a lot of things and a lot of good things, and they have the ability to do it, but they don't have the willingness to do it. So this man approaches Jesus and he says, "If you are willing, would you make me clean?" I believe he simply said that because he understood what the law was. He understood that he was not supposed to, if he's going to say anything, he's just supposed to be saying unclean, unclean. He understands that he's not to touch or to be touched. And so therefore he addresses Jesus, "If you're willing." I believe he knew that he was able. But you see, I have walked in here tonight to this pulpit, directed by the Holy Ghost to tell us in this house that Jesus is both able and willing. If I don't get anything else said tonight, that's the message of the hour. He's not only able, he's willing. Look at your neighbor and say, "He's willing." The Bible says that when he cried out to Jesus, "If you're willing, make me clean." The Bible says, this is absolutely amazing to me. It makes me just want to rejoice. Not only do you see the untouchable here being touched, but you see unconditional love displayed by the Master. The untouchable leper comes to Jesus and he finds unconditional love here. If Jesus touches this man, the letter in the law of the Leviticus law indicates that if Jesus touches him, if another man touches this leper, that he too will become unclean. But you see, the law didn't take into fact that Jesus Christ is the healer, amen. The law didn't take into fact that he's not bound by the man-made law. The law didn't take into fact that this is the water walking blinded eye opener, deaf ear unstopping Jesus. They didn't take in the fact that this man walks on water and raises the dead back to life. The law doesn't take in the fact that nothing is impossible with this man if you'll only believe in him. And the Bible says that Jesus defies the law and he reaches out and he touches this man. Somebody ought to thank him for that touch. He In fact, this man's faith had took him as far as he could go. And then Jesus stretched forth his hand and touched him. Jesus is not bound by man-made law. Come on. And secondly of all, there's a law that is higher than man-made law. It's the law of the Spirit. And the Apostle Paul speaks of it in Galatians chapter 5, and he calls it the fruit of the Spirit, and the first fruit of the Spirit is love. And Paul states explicitly when speaking of the fruit of the Spirit, he says, against such there is no law. Now, we're looking at a man that knew Jesus had the power and he knew Jesus had the ability, but he was wondering if he was willing. We're looking at a man that thought, I'm in too worse of a condition for him to touch me. We're looking at a man that thought, I have sank so low in this condition and the law is against me. I don't know if he'll touch me or not. But this man learned something that you and I need to learn, and that is this. We've not gone too far. We've not sank too low. We're not so deep in sin, we've not done too much that he will not stretch forth his hand and touch us in our moment and in our hour of weakness. Aren't you thankful that God is willing to touch us? Amen. Somebody help me preach and say he's willing. He said, I'm willing. Be clean. Listen to me tonight. He's not just able to be your Savior. He's willing to be your Savior. He's not just able to be your sanctifier. He's willing to be your sanctifier. He's not just able to be your Holy Ghost baptizer. He is willing to be your Holy Ghost baptizer. He's not just able to be Jehovah Jireh, the Lord your provider, but he's willing to be your provider. He's not just able to be your healer, but ladies and gentlemen, he is willing to be your healer. He's not just able to be your deliverer, but he is willing, praise God, to be your deliverer. Amen. Hallelujah. The devil knows that God is able, but he wants to convince us that he's not willing. But he's willing. This is the nature. This is the love of God. He's willing to touch the untouchable. And he loves the unlovable. That's why I sang that song. He touched me. He touched me. And he made me whole. I mean, you've got the untouchable being touched by Jesus here. You've got unconditional love. But you know something? There's something about the touch of Jesus that brings an undeniable cleansing. You can't deny it. Amen? Verse 13 says that after Jesus touched the man and said to him, I am willing. Sometimes he would speak and never touch, but here he touched and then spoke. He touched the man and said, I am willing. The Bible says, immediately. Sometimes we just read the scripture so fast and just miss a thing or two. The Bible says that immediately, after Jesus touched him and said, I will be clean, immediately his leprosy left him. It don't take God long to do things, folks. It don't take God long to perform miracles. We've just got to come to grips with the fact that he's not only able, he is willing. Amen. And immediately his leprosy left him, an undeniable, visible manifestation of the healing power of Jesus. Can I tell you that when Jesus touches you, there'll be a visual change? Amen. When Jesus touches you, you're going to know it, and everybody else around you is going to know it as well. When Jesus touches you, you don't need a second opinion from man, because you will know when he touches you. Amen. And I want to tell you, he's more than able, but he's also willing to touch. When he touched this man, his leprosy immediately was cleansed and was gone. I remember when I bowed before him as a sinner, like leprosy. leprosy, sin had eaten me up. Like leprosy, I was in a miserable condition. Like leprosy, I felt like I was going to die. Like leprosy, I felt unclean. But I remember when the willing hand of Jesus Christ touched me, hallelujah, and he washed me of my sins, I didn't have to second guess whether or not I was saved. I felt in my body that I had been redeemed, that my sins had been washed away. And I want to tell you tonight, I stand before you and I know without a shadow of a doubt that I am saved because of the willing touch of Jesus Christ. He didn't have to save me, but he was willing to. He didn't have to forgive me, but he was willing to. He didn't have to set you free, but he was willing to set you free. And I want to tell you, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus because of his willing power to set men and women free. Oh, somebody praise God with me in this house. Praise him if you're free. Praise him if you're redeemed. Praise him because you're not who you used to be. My God, we'd already be in hell if it were not for the willing touch of Jesus Christ on our lives. I feel like praising him in this house because old things have passed away. And all things have become new because he was willing to touch me. He was willing. Sure, he had the power. Sure, he had the ability. But he was willing. He was willing to touch me. I was lost and undone without God or his son when he reached down his hand for me. Are you glad tonight that he reached down his hand for you? I want to tell you, there is no touch like the touch of Jesus. There's not a cleansing touch anywhere like the cleansing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God he's not only able, but he's willing. He touched this leper, and immediately he was cleansed. Do you know me by now? There's got to be a little spiritual application here for us in every text, and here it is. I don't think I'd do the Lord justice if I didn't tell you this. He looked at that leper and he said, go show yourself to the priest. Go to the temple and show yourself to the priest. Although Jesus wasn't bound by the law, he understood that according to the law, it was up to the priest to declare that a leper was clean. Leviticus chapter 25 will give you the whole discourse on that. But Jesus tells him here, he says, go to the temple. Go show yourself to the priest. Notice something here with me. Lord, I feel a little preach right here. It's coming on. I said something's coming on. Get your seatbelt off. This, everybody may not like this, but this is the truth. No, this man could have thought, I don't need the priest. I don't need the temple. I got Jesus' touch. But brothers and sisters, I need to tell you that Jesus and the church go together. I said Jesus and the church go together. He told this man, said, go to the temple, go to the priest, amen, and testify of your healing. Amen. I don't know how it is around here, but I know how it is where I come from. I've seen people get so sick at deathbed, and I've actually seen God touch them. I've seen the the able, willing God touch them and raise them off of their deathbed. I've heard them lay there in their dying condition and say, if the Lord will touch me, I'll go to church. Don't shout me down when I'm doing real good now. And the Lord raised them up and they forget where the church is. They say, I'm going to go by the church when the Lord heals me. And that's exactly what they do. They go right on by it. Come on. Come on. But I want to tell you, if the Lord has raised you up, if the Lord has redeemed your life from destruction, if the Lord has picked you up out of the miry clay of sin and set your feet on the rock, if the Lord has wrote your name in the Lamb's book of life, if the Lord has given you victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, if the Lord has provided your every need and taken care of you every day, you need to go to the house of God and testify of the goodness of the Lord. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained with him, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. I have a hard time staying out of church because I want to get in the house of God and declare the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm redeemed. Thank God I've been born again. Thank God I'm full of the Holy Ghost and power, and I'm going to hang out with God's folk in the house of God and testify of the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Somebody give him praise in this house. You need to go to church. God didn't heal you to go to the ball game on Sunday. Last night, I'm going out with a bang. God didn't heal you to go fishing on Sunday or camping on Sunday. God didn't heal you so you could lay in your own bed and get some rest and recuperate from your healing. Don't give me that crazy stuff. God raised you up, so he expects you to be in the house of God, giving him praise. Hallelujah. Oh, help me in this house. Go to the house of God and testify of the goodness of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Your neighbors ought to know that you go to church on Sunday. They ought not see your car in the driveway. If they see your car in the driveway on Sunday, they ought to be ringing your phone. Where are you at? What's going on? Amen. Amen. I live beside some Lutheran folk are my neighbors, good neighbors, good people. I know they love the Lord. They know what I do. They know what I do. They know I love the Lord too. See, that's my wife the other day, just this week, one day this week, the other day. Is he still in Washington? And she said, yeah. He said, I guess he's having a good time. She said, oh, yeah. Yeah, he's having a good time. He might not understand just how good a time I'm having, but he knows I love the Lord. And they see my car. I go to church, you know, a little earlier than they do. And they never see my car there. But your neighbors ought to know you're going to church. I don't know how I'm off on this, but I'm going to shake this tree while I'm on it. It's not a point of are we going. The point is what time are we leaving? I remember coming up as a kid. I didn't have any say-so whether we went to church on Sunday or not. It was a given. It was a fact. It was set in stone. And if I rebelled, I got the Board of Education, applied to the seat of learning, got a quick adjustment, amen, and understood quickly that this is a day that the Lord has made, and we go to the house of the Lord and we worship Him, amen. Hallelujah. Come on, we've got a real problem in our world today when our kids can dictate to mom and daddy whether or not we're going to church on Sunday. All they can do is cry and pitch a fit, and the whole family will lay out of church at home. Amen. Get in trouble and then call the pastor, call the church, and cry out to God, God help me, God help me. I'll tell you what, you need to help God out a little bit and get up. Get up and go to the house of God. I said, get up and go to the house of God. Take that squalling brat to the house of God. Set them down on that pew. Let them hear some Holy Ghost singing. The Holy Ghost will calm them down. The Holy Ghost will speak to them. Let the power of God touch their lives. Amen. My God, we need some more people that will dedicate themselves, sell themselves out to God. If God's been good to you, get up and go to the house of the Lord and testify. Praise God. Turn to somebody and testify to them right now and say, God's been good to me. Woo! Glory. 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 Go show yourself to the priest. The world is hungry for a church where the power of God is still at work. Amen. See, we never know when sinners will come through our doors. Let me show you. Let me show you how something can blow up on you. Several years ago, when I was in bondage, pastoring a church, who got it? Thank you. I'm coming over here with you because I don't know if anybody else is with me or not. Several years ago when I was pastoring the church, had a lady that come to church, and when she came, she'd always request prayer for her son, that God would save her boy. Save her boy. And like any good church would do, we'd pray for God to save her boy. But I mean, she'd stop the service sometimes. Pray for my boy. Pray for my boy. And you know, going out the door every Sunday, Pastor, pray for my boy, that God will save my boy. Now, I remember one week, her boy come to church. Her boy walked through the doors and sat down in the church. We had church. When church was over, he come to me and he said, where's my mama? He said, where's my mama? I said, I don't know where your mama's at. He said, I don't know either, but said she begged me all the time to come to church, and now here I am and she's not here. I had an issue on my hands all of a sudden. The issue is this. I know there's times we can't make it. Please, please don't misunderstand me. There are times, you know, that we're not able to get to the house of the Lord. And there are circumstances that arise from time to time that people can't get to church. I mean, I do understand that. And the Lord understands that. But the issue is this. If God's been good to us, and if we're praying for sons and daughters to come through the door and be saved, we better do everything we can to be there when they come through the doors. Amen. Amen. Because the world is looking for a church that has power. You see, for years we've told the good news. Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus delivers, Jesus can set you free. They've heard our message. When they come, they need to see the power of God at work. They need to come where people are being delivered and restored and saved and set free by the power of the Holy Ghost. They need to come where the power of the Spirit is in operation and is at work. It's amazing what some churches are trying to do today to get a crowd. Amen. They're changing their name. Come on. I don't know, Lord. I feel something in here. Let me carry my Bible around. I'm feeling like I'm about to get on thin ice here. They're changing their name. Lord, we're calling ourselves rivers. We're calling ourselves overflow. We're calling ourselves whatever. Coming up with all kind of catchy things, trying to draw a crowd. We'll change our music. We'll sing this genre or that genre of music, hoping to draw a crowd. We think that if we have multiple degrees surrounding our name, that we can draw a crowd. How many know what it takes to draw the crowd? Come on. You know, I've been here long enough to know that you know what it takes. It takes the power of the Holy Ghost in operation. People will come when they can feel something. People will come where people are testifying to the goodness of God. That's why it's good to get to the house of the Lord, because you never know who's going to sit on the pew, and they're going to see your testimony. They're going to hear your song. They're going to see your worship. They're going to see the smile and the joy of the Lord running over on the inside of you. Hallelujah. So if God's been good to you, get in the house of God and let the glory roll. Don't you love him tonight? Well, just one more little point here. But better not leave it out since it's in the book. He tells the leper now, you've been cleansed. He says, go to the priest, go to the temple, show yourself, testify. Let them see. Just let your life be the testimony. But he says, give an offering. I'm down to two amens. Give an offering. Not only did Jesus tell this man to go to church and testify, but he said, give an offering. And we're not going to take up another one. I'm not taking up no offering, that's for sure. But think about this. Have you ever thought of your offering being a testimony? You ever give any thought to that? Chances are we haven't. But have you ever thought that your offering is a testimony? When we give an offering, it is a testimony to the fact that we know Jesus is our provider. Hey, come on, somebody. Amen. When we give an offering, it testifies to the fact that Jesus is our provider. When we give an offering, we're letting God know that we have an attitude of gratitude for all of his blessings and his benefits in our lives. Amen. Glory. An offering. That's different than the tithe. Oh, how many times have we just dropped the tithe in and, well, that's it. Well, that ain't what the Bible said. It's tithe and offering. As a matter of fact, there's more blessings that come from the offering than possibly the tithe. The tithe is just an integrity test, just to see if you'll give to God what already belongs to him. It's just to see how honest you are. It just determines whether you're a thief or not. Come on, I ain't going to shut my eyes and pray for nobody that don't pay their tithes, because if they steal from God, they'll steal my wallet out of my pocket while I'm trying to pray for them. People rob God, they'd certainly rob you. Amen? Come on, help me, somebody. Woo! Tithe is just a test to see whether you're a thief or not. But your offering proves how much you really love God. Amen. Hallelujah. Bring your tithe and your offering into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, says the Lord. And prove me now if I'll not open the windows of heaven. Listen, God don't do windows any less than 10%. Y'all get that tomorrow, maybe. He doesn't do windows any less than 10%. God said if you'll bring the tithe and the offering, he would open the windows of heaven. Yeah. and that he'd pour out a blessing, that there would not be enough room to receive it. Now, I'm probably preaching to a tithing and a giving church, but I'm just preaching so you'll keep doing it. Amen. He told this leper, now go to the temple and let your life, let your healing life be a testimony, but offer an offering in the temple. Give an offering. Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Give, and it, you determine the it. Give, and it shall be given unto you. You can't outgive God. How many know that? You can't outgive God. It's like God, when he sees our obedience in giving and we put it in his hand, he's already got it pressed down, shaken together, and it's already on its way back to us. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pay your tithe. Give in the offering. It's not that we're paying God for what he's done for us. We could never pay him in monetary fashion for what he's done for us. There's no way. If we had all the money that there is and would ever be, it wouldn't be enough to pay the Lord for what he's done for us in our lives. It's not that we're paying God. It's simply we're obeying God. Amen. Because we need the blessing. We need the blessing. Amen. Jesus touched this man. The man that everybody else looked at and would shun and stay away from. That knew not to touch him, not to get close. Yet Jesus touched him. He touched this man. He cleansed him. He loved him. He touched him and cleansed him. And sent him to church and told him to give an offering and glorify the Lord. It's not hard for me to find myself in this passage of Scripture. No, I've not had leprosy, but I remember I used to be a sinner, lost and undone. I remember I used to be deep in sin. And I can remember how unclean it felt to be in sin. But I can remember when he reached down his hand and touched me. I'm going to tell you something. Some of these folk are done and dead and gone on to glory, but there were some people that were happy when I got saved. I don't know about you, but there were some people that were happy when I got saved. Their lives got better. But somebody told me that Jesus wasn't only able, but he was willing to touch. Now, I feel like that I need to echo that message here tonight. Hopefully I have, and I want to say it again. He's not just an able God. He's a willing God. He's a willing God. Yes, he's willing to touch you. Right in the middle of your mess, he's willing to touch you. He's willing to put his hand on your life. A transformational touch. Would you stand with me tonight?